A very good morning to all of you. Thank God that we have a wonderful time of worshiping our glorious God this morning. So thank Eddie and his team for leading us in worship. And as Elder Winston said, we are at the final sermon of our sermon series on Ecclesiastes, Purposeful Living in a Postmodern World. And very appropriately, the last sermon is about making the most of your life. On one occasion, a reporter asked an old man what his secret was to be able to live to such a ripe old age. And the old man replied, "A quart of whiskey, 2 packs of cigarettes, and 3 square meals a day." So surprised by the answer, the reporter then asked the person, "So how old are you, sir?" And he replied, 32. Brothers and sisters, there are 3 ways we can live our life. One is to waste our life away by indulging ourselves in very sinful and unhealthy habits like this 30-year-old man. Then two, we can spend our life by preoccupying ourselves with what most people are doing, the paper chase, career development, acquiring material possessions. There's a lot of people preoccupy themselves in doing that. And then three, we can invest our life. Hear correctly, I'm not saying invest your money, but invest your life. Remembering what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has set eternity in our hearts. So we need to partner with God in our life mission to do the things that count for eternity. Remember, one of our 5 core values is eternity mindedness. And so today's sermon will, in a sense, talk about that. So which of these 3 ways you choose to live your life is really up to you. It doesn't matter whether you are young or middle age or older, past retirement age. And to help us make the right choice, to make the most of our life, Solomon offers 3 imperatives. So let us stand as we read the Word of God together. We will just read chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. But today's sermon will cover us all the way up to chapter 12, verse 14. So let's read together. "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart, and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for giving us life. Lord, you are our creator, you are our maker, and we thank you for making us just the way we are. This morning, as we pause to listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit come and speak to our hearts, teaching us how to make the most of our life for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. So 3 imperatives, how to make the most of our life. Firstly, seize the opportunities. Don't be paralyzed by problem. That was our entire sermon for last Sunday. Just to refresh our memory a bit over what we talked about last week concerning seizing the opportunities that the Lord present to us. So in verses 1 to 6, chapter 11, Solomon is urging us to just step out in faith out of our comfort zone as God stirs our heart to partner with him in his great work of redemption. God has a mission on earth, and you and I, as his children, must partner with him to accomplish this mission here on earth. We will not be afraid of taking a risk. We talked about that last week. We will not be paralyzed by the inevitable. We can live with uncertainty. And this past year, as we heard, this past year with all the uncertainty, I think by God's grace, we have lived it out, trusting God. We will not wait for perfect conditions before we start doing what God has burdened our hearts to do as we join Him in partnership in saving the world. Yes, there may even be mysteries that we cannot fully grasp and understand, but because we serve the sovereign Lord who has everything within His control, we can live and we can serve with a sense of purpose and destiny. So this morning we will look at the two other imperatives to help us make the most of our life. So first is seize the opportunities, don't be paralyzed by problems. Then the second imperative is enjoy your life fully, but live sensibly, verses 7 to 10, chapter 11. You see, contrary to what many people think, Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts. Sometimes we get that idea, probably some, I must say, mostly from pastors and preachers, because they skew the word of God one direction, that it is a religion of do's and don'ts. You see, God is not a sadist who wants to see His children robbed of the pleasures of life. Instead, God wants us to enjoy life fully. Remember Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that He came so that we may have life, and life in all its fullness. That's abundant life. God wants us to enjoy life. God doesn't want us to put on a papaya face and be gloomy all the time. If we live that way, nobody will want to become a Christian. So I want to emphasize that again. God is not a sadist. He wants His people to enjoy life to the full. The Bible not only permits happiness, in fact, the Bible commands it. The very first psalm is talking about happiness, how to be blessed. The Hebrew word assure, to be blessed, to be happy, to be joyful. God commands it. Of all people, we who believe in God as our Creator and our Savior, we should be happy people. We should enjoy life. Our happiness should not be superficial or glib. Instead, it must rise out of a profound trust in the true and living God. So much so that even when we experience pain in our life, there will be serenity which gives rise to true joy, even in the midst of pain and difficult circumstances. So let us take a closer look at how we should enjoy life, what Solomon says. One way we can enjoy life is by learning contentment. So you want to take down the notes there. Contentment is very important. Verses 7 and 8. Light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. You know, it's a good feeling to be alive and to experience the light of the day and the glow of the sun. This is something that we tend to take for granted. You know, whenever I have the opportunity, especially when we are at church camps, when the church camp is at a beach resort, I would often wake up early to observe the sunrise and watch the sunrise. And what a beautiful sight that is. First hues of red, then orange, and then bright yellow. Enjoy the sunlight. And every morning, Sunday morning, when I come to church, I will see the sun. It's a beautiful thing, you know, along the expressway, the Tampines Expressway. The sun is beautiful. It's glorious. And sometimes when I go back home, late when the sun set, it is a beautiful sight to see the big round orange sun setting on the horizon. You see, many people groan a lot in their lives because they have taken for granted the good things in life that they can enjoy, like watching the sun rise or the sunset, hearing the birds sing in the morning, And since I moved to Woodlands, every morning the birds will sing, and it is very loud, and it is a very pleasant noise. I don't mind woken up by the birds. It's a beautiful scenario. And of course, sometimes we take for granted the gentle breeze that caresses our face when we walk on the road and when we are sweating. Very often when I'm walking on the road, when the gentle breeze blows, I will just spontaneously thank God. Thank you, Lord, for the breeze, because it cools me down. I'm a person who is very scared of humidity. Solomon especially instructs young people to enjoy the days of our youth. Why? Because when the days of darkness come, in this context, the days of darkness refers to when we grow old. And more about this in my next point. So regularly take stock of your life, and counting its many blessings will cause you to be more grateful and less complaining. Don't take for granted the many things that God has endowed us with, which is free. You don't need to pay for it. Contentment is very important. Everything to give us contentment is right before us. We only need to open our eyes and observe them. And then out of the depths of our heart, offer a word of praise and thanks to the Creator, the one who made all these things for us to enjoy. So contentment, the first C, okay? Another way we can enjoy life, we're still at point number two, another way to enjoy life is by being courageous and confident. Let me read verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So why I call this courageous and confidence is that Solomon is basically saying to young people, of course to all of us as well, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. That's a good advice that any one of us can give to young people. Follow your heart. Dream your dreams. But of course, let me qualify that a bit. It is not an encouragement to go on a youthful fling and satisfy your sinful desires. It's not that. It is dream your dreams. Not go and pursue sinful indulgences. In fact, our local newspaper once carried the following headline on its front page. The headline goes like this: work hard, party hard. And then the sub headline: Singapore yuppies hold good jobs here, but on weekends they head for drugs in Bangkok and KL. This was front page in a local newspaper once. You see, these young executives know they risk destroying their high-flying careers and a jail sentence. See, those who are caught taking drugs, even when you're overseas, can be jailed up to 10 years or fined 20,000 or both. That is the law in Singapore. But these yuppies do not care. Life, they say, is just one big party. The report went on to mention that one particular yuppie by the name of Alex, 35 years old, who earns $10,000 a month, flies to Bangkok every weekend for his parties. This is, of course, pre-COVID days. And Alex, a former student of a top-notch school here in Singapore, he's the manager of a multinational firm, and he drives a BMW. He said, we need to let loose totally, he said. Singapore is too restricted. Now, this is not what Solomon is saying here. He's not referring to what Alex said here, follow your heart. That is sinful indulgence. That's something that young people, you must guard against. I want young people to listen very carefully to this. Drugs, alcohol, and illicit sex may provide you temporal pleasures, but they do not provide you ultimate enjoyment. Those who indulge in these things are suffering from feelings of guilt and remorse. Many have ruined their lives, and some of them permanently. So let me reiterate that the clause, follow your heart, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes is not a license to indulge in sinful pleasures. Rather, what Solomon is saying here is a reminder for young people to enjoy the special pleasures that belong to youth that can never be experienced again in quite the same manner as you grow older. When you are lively, when you have all the energy, follow your dreams, because God put those dreams in your heart. Those desires and those passions, these are legitimate ones I'm referring to. So Solomon encourages young people to enjoy themselves, but with a caveat. He warns that we can only truly experience true joy when we live sensibly. That's why I entitled this second point, enjoy your life fully, but live sensibly. Because one day, you and I will have to stand before God and we will have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. By all means, follow your heart, but remember, we have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. You see, enjoy whatever we see or desire. Have fun. But in the midst of our enjoyment, remember that the all-seeing God will review even the quality of our pleasures and the manner in which we enjoy ourselves. By all means, pursue innocent and wholesome fun. The world, of course, will try to convince us that we are missing out on something when we avoid the not-so-innocent fun. And your peers, your friends, may try to convince you as well, you know, don't be, you know, a pushover, you know, just enjoy some of these funs. But we need to realize that the things that God withholds from us are not worthwhile. And we have to stand before God one day to give an account. Indeed, when we limit ourselves to the funds that are wholesome and innocent within God's parameters, we are free to do the things that actually bring true joy without guilt and without regret. I hope young people will remember this. So, how do we enjoy ourselves? We talk about being contented, then being courageous. And then another way we enjoy life is by learning to be carefree. Verse 10, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. You know, there are several ways in which anxiety can be banished. It can be done by being irresponsible, like through escapism. And some of us do that. We become carefree by escaping to a lot of distractions that we don't want to think about our worry. So we get distracted by many other things, especially our gadgets. But the only right way to really banish our anxieties and offload our troubles is to cast all our anxieties on the God who cares for us. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on God because He cares. So was it correct that earlier on today in our worship service, so we were asked to come before God and lay our burden and take upon the yoke, which is light? I mean, cast our cares on Him, on God. God, don't bury it ourselves. Surprisingly, this advice is directed to young people. Going to come back to verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart. And particularly in the context of verse 10, it is directed to young people. Now, I say surprisingly because we usually assume that young people are very carefree. Brothers and sisters, no longer so today. In fact, according to Samaritans of Singapore, the highest suicide group among population in Singapore are men in their 20s to 29, the highest suicide group. No longer young people are carefree because of the pressure. Young people today can be very nervous and edgy. Suicide rate among them is rather high. Not too long ago, our Straits Times carried the headline, I quote, mystery death of a healthy teenager, in inverted comma. And it reported how a 19-year-old boy died in his sleep. 19-year-old, without any medical condition, he just died in his sleep in Singapore. While his sudden death is still a mystery, a close friend of the boy said that he might have been having too much schoolwork, too much homework. His friend said, I quote, when I called him a few weeks ago, he said that he had a lot of projects and slept for only about 2 hours a night. Anxiety, a lot of works. Young people and their parents, especially the mothers perhaps, need to hear Solomon's advice here. Remove vexation from your heart. You must learn to live a carefree. Notice I use the word carefree and not careless. Carefree. Cast your care upon Jesus because he cares for you. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Put away pain from your body. Let me, at this juncture, address those in the midst who may be going through a rough patch because of health problems. And, you know, there are few things in life that can bring more anxiety and vexation than health problems, whether it is our own or the health of our loved ones. If we are not careful, we can actually feed the anxiety and the stress by going from one doctor to another doctor. I believe that it is good sometimes to seek a second opinion or maybe even a third opinion. But eventually, there will come a time when we have to simply surrender our health situation to the Lord and pray that His will be done. Banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, the Apostle Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our mind in Christ Jesus. Here Paul uses the analogy of a garrison of soldiers guarding the two important areas of our life where anxiety or stress may come from, our heart and our mind. And medical science already tells us the heart not merely only pump blood, the heart also has those feelings and related to the brain. The heart and the brain can produce hormone. So when we are stressful, when we are anxious, cortisol and adrenaline are produced. Especially when we are in a very dangerous situation, our brain will produce cortisol and adrenaline so that we can either fight or flee. And I remember when I was younger, on one occasion, I was chased by a pack of dogs, you know. But it's really frightening when a pack of dogs chase you. I knew that I would not be able to outrun them. So I stood and fight, and I kicked, and I moved my body and frightened them away. So I can only do that because of the cortisol and adrenaline. But brothers and sisters, when our body is constantly stressful, the cortisol and the adrenaline produced in our body over the long run will make us sick because our body is not meant to be stressful all the time. It will only help us to fight and flee in critical moments. But if we are constantly stressful, we are constantly anxious, that's why we have sicknesses. So I believe if we claim this, what Solomon said here, remove vexation from our heart, and of course, Paul's statement there in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but bring our request before God. When we do that often enough, then we won't be so stressful. We will be less sick. Our immune system will be stronger. So remove vexation from our heart. The phrase childhood and youth are meaningless. In verse 10, the dawn of life, referring to childhood, does not mean that these two stages of life are unimportant and therefore a waste of time. That's not what it meant. I want to clarify that. Rather, quite the opposite is true. See, the phrase means that childhood and youth are transient and fleeting. Hence, they are very precious. The years of childhood and youth are very precious because they pass on so quickly. We must not waste the opportunities for growth and ministry these years provide. That's why I believe, I think as a church, we are very into this fathering movement, bringing heaven home, and especially young children, the first few years of their life, it is most critical that we input in them the right sense of emotional support, or else we put them in childcare or we let some other surrogate people to look after them. They will grow up to be very anxious people. And of course, they won't have a bonding with you because you are not taking care of them. Childhood and youth are the very two critical period of our life. And because they pass by so quickly, in a twinkle of an eye, our children have already grown up. Therefore, we must not waste the opportunities that we engage them, help them to have the confidence in life, in facing even danger and things like that, so that they will grow up to be well-adjusted young people. The best way to have a happy adult life and a contented old age is to get a very good start early in life and avoid the things that trouble will bring later on. So young people, listen carefully. Take care of your body and your mind. Avoid the destructive sins of the flesh and build good habits of health and lifestyle and holiness. Better have a chance, then you will have a better chance to live a happy life and fruitful adult life. On the other hand, if you indulge in the sinful pleasures of life without restraint, you will not only bear the consequences of your loose living in this life, you also have to stand before God and give an account to God how you live your life. So don't envy the freedom that some other societies are giving their people. Like America is really significant, a country that is supposed to be a Christian country, but now they have legalized drugs. You can take drugs and it is legal. You know, that spells doom for the next generation. We must thank God that in our country, that is strongly prohibited because drugs destroy life. So when you see young people enjoying some of these things, don't envy them. They will bear the consequences of their life. So enjoy your life fully, but live sensibly. And then the third and final imperative, how to make the most of our life, is to live decisively for God. Don't dishonor Him. Verse chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. So let me read verse 1 to verse 2 first. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds returned after the rain. When Solomon says, remember your Creator, he means more than just think about God. It's more than that. It's more than just having a head knowledge about God. That's not what it means by remember. To remember our Creator actually means pay attention to Him. Consider the intention of obeying Him. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It means to direct our thoughts and actions always towards God and live decisively for Him. That is why you heard me say that, and I wish you would do that, and Pastor Andrew will help us to develop this culture of spending extended time away to be with God, to connect with God. And thank God, tomorrow starting, I will have 4 days of personal retreat. I'm really looking forward to it. So this week I work very hard, finish all my work, and tomorrow I'm looking forward to it. And I do that a few times a year. This year, because of the COVID, not able to go overseas, so my children booked for me a staycation hotel in Singapore. I'm looking forward to it. This is what it means to remember your Creator. Set aside time and engage God. Let Him speak into your life and to a time of extended devotion to Him. Young people, I want you to listen very carefully to this. It is very easy to neglect God when you are caught up with the enjoyment and the opportunities of youthfulness. Very easy to do that. Many young people today focus only on their studies and some other worldly pursuits. And then they leave God completely out of the picture in terms of spiritual growth and purposeful ministry. You see, if you do not take time to serve God while you are young, you won't do so when you start working. Many young people say, Pastor, now I've got to study, you know. Wait till I finish studies. Then I start working, I'll start serving God. But you will not. Because once you start working, there will be more commitments. It's no longer school days. You know, you have to make those commitments. And if you don't start the habit of engaging God early in your life, when you start working, it will not happen. And then some of you say, oh, you know, wait till I got children. And then when your children say, wait till my children grow older, you will never start. So start engaging God while you are young. During our youthful years, the sky is always bright. But as you grow older, dark and stormy days will come. And that's what this verse really means. Verse 1, the days of trouble, or the evil days, the ESV said, NIV is the days of trouble in verse 1, speaks of the natural process of growing old, of aging. When our bodies begin to creak and groan and start to fall apart, that is the days of trouble coming, as some of us can identify with that. You see, through Solomon, God is saying to you and me, remember me, your Creator, while you are still young, while you still have the energy. Live decisively for me, God says, and serve me with all your heart. Surrender your life to me now, like what we sang earlier on, you know, that we surrender our life to God, we give God our life. Don't wait until you are old. Give me the best years of your life. Serve me with the best years of your life, and you will enjoy more, you know, when you do that. My stepfather became a Christian when he was 70 years old. What happened was that one day, at the time we were living in Flower Road, Serangoon area, we were living in Flower Road and a rented terrace house. And one day when he was crossing Upper Serangoon Road, he was very sure that there was no cars. And suddenly a car screeched in front of him and stopped. That woke him out, you know, scared him out of his life, you know. And he was 70 years old, and that was then he became a Christian. And though overjoyed with the fact that he became a Christian when he was 70, he kept saying to us, his children, especially me, he kept saying that he wished he had been a Christian much earlier. See, when my stepfather became a Christian, he's very good with his mouth. Can only say, how long go yao? You know, he's very good at how long go yao. That means his mouth filled with oil. And he was attending this church in Bethel Assembly of God in the Palm Grove Avenue. And his mouth is so good that sometimes the difficult members, especially the older people that the pastors cannot handle, he will be able to handle. On one occasion, father wanted to come to the church and create trouble. So my stepfather visited him, and the next day he came to church, not to create trouble, but to worship God. So my stepfather, he brought many people to Christ, you know, after he became Christian. But he said, I wish I had become a Christian earlier on. But thank God, he still had 13 years. He died when he was 83 and went home to be with the Lord. And so you and I must remember that many people who came to know Christ late in their life wish they would have done so earlier on. For myself, I started getting serious with God and began living decisively for him at the age of 13. I was in secondary one in Victoria School. And I got involved in the Victoria School Christian Fellowship. I was started to lead worship song and become one of the leader when I reached my pre-U days, the JC days. I was the vice president of the Victoria Christian Fellowship. So starting from age 13, so I have 51 years of decisive living for God, joyfully serving him. A Lord willing, maybe I would have 20 or 30 years more to live decisively for God and to serve him. So brothers and sisters, live decisively for God while you are still young. Verses 3 and 5 to 5 talks about the problem of getting old. The problems of getting old. And here Solomon uses a poetic allegory. He looks at old age like a tumble-down house. It's an allegory. By the way, allegory is like a word picture. So when you interpret scripture, most of the time we interpret scripture literally. Don't interpret it allegory unless the text very obviously show you, or else you make a mess out of things, okay? But here is a good example of an allegory in the Bible. It's a picture, it's a word picture. So the keepers of the house, verse 3, the keepers of the house tremble, obviously refers to the trembling hands of an old person. As we grow older, our hands will start to tremble. Not necessarily that you have Parkinson's, but as we grow older, that may happen. We can no longer steadily hold a hand. So if you're speaking in public, when you're older, don't hold a piece of paper. Everybody can see your hand shaking. So hold a book. Always have a book. And easier. So people can see you shaking, okay? The strong men are bent, the next phrase, refers to the weakened legs and knees of an old man, which caused him to bend over. It's an allegory of, so Solomon is describing old age. The grinders cease because they are few is an obvious reference to the few teeth left in an old person's mouth. This reminds me of the Malay children's song, Burung Kakadua. Remember the song, Burung Kakadua? I'm just singing to my grandson the other day. And one verse in the song goes something like this. Nenek sudah tua, giginya tinggal dua. That means grandmother is getting old and she got only two teeth left. So that's a reference to that. Old age is a time that you start shopping for dentures. By the way, all my teeth are real, okay? No dentures. In case you wonder. It's quite amazing. When I was a young man, on one occasion, I think I was about 30 plus. On one occasion, a church member, asked me the question, Pastor Kenny, are your teeth all real or not? 30 plus, my goodness, even now today, I assure you, it's no dentures yet, thank God. Those who look through the windows are dim, obviously refers to the gradual losing of our eyesight as we grow older. Time to get progressive lens. So mine is progressive lens. And for those of you who have good eyesight, reading class, you need reading class already. And of course, further down the road, you need magnifying glass. The doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. May be interpreted in two different ways. You can choose which one. I think the first one may be probably correct. It may refer to old people losing their sense of hearing. They can't pick out sounds so well. And that is one reason why they speak very loudly, because they thought you also can't hear. That's why they speak very loudly. Or you may refer to the loss of appetite for tough meat, the grinders. You know, your molars are gone. And therefore, they can no longer chew tough meat as they used to. So here they exchange bak kwa for Quaker oats. One rise up at the sound of the bird, obviously describe the sleeping habits of old people. They wake up when the birds start singing early in the morning and they can't get back to sleep. The slightest sound will wake them up. So as we grow older, we will still sleep less. I suppose this is God's natural way of shortening our life here on earth. Because as we sleep less, somehow sleep is very important, brothers and sisters. All of us need at least 7 to 8 hours. But as we grow older, we sleep less. Time to be with the Lord. I mean, that's God's natural way of bringing us home. And then all the daughters of a song are brought low. You know, as we grow older, our voice start to quiver and shake. And this something that we would have to come face to face with. Many of us probably here have not happened to us yet, but we will come to a time when we can no longer sing and carry our voice. Our voice will begin to break. So that's why it is very important for young people especially. Of course, now we are in COVID time, we cannot really sing heartily, but pre-COVID days and when COVID is over, when we come before God to sing with all our gusto, you know, because the time will come when you want to sing with gusto, so you cannot, because your voice begin to quiver. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. Speaks of old people being afraid of heights and of falling, and when they walk down the street, they are afraid of being robbed. In fact, my stepfather, on one occasion, that was many years ago, he was robbed of his watch when he was walking home at night. So when you are old, don't wear anything valuable. You know, even in safe Singapore, you know, some people say don't go to JB, but Singapore also people get chopped up and been robbed also. So we must be very careful as we grow older. The almond tree blossoms is an obvious reference to the hairs of people turning white like almond blossoms. But of course, nowadays we have hair products that you can dye your hair. But naturally, your hair will grow white. The grasshopper drags itself along. It's an obvious reference to old people taking very small steps as they walk. See, grasshoppers don't drag their feet. Grasshoppers just hop, you know, and they will be very fast moving from one place to another. But when the grasshopper drags its feet along, it's a description of that. They move from one place to another very slowly. The next phrase, a bit more difficult to understand, desire fails. And the NIV says, desire no longer is stirred. And the NASB, quite interesting, say, the cable berry is ineffective. See, the cable berry was an aphrodisiac that stimulated sexual desire, somewhat like our modern-day Viagra and Tonka Ali, which enhances sexual performance. So as a person grows older, he loses even his desire for sex. Or when the desire is still present, there is no ability. So I use the Chinese word, yu neng wu li. So you want to perform but also cannot. As we grow older, our sexual desire and sexual power slowly diminish. Women go through menopause. We are all very clear about that. Sometimes in my family, my children jokingly say, when the mom is a bit, you know, they will say, oh, mom going through menopause. But actually, men also go through andropause. May not be so obvious, but it is also there. Then, finally, man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Obvious reference to a funeral procession. So this is an allegory from verse 1 to verse 5, or rather verse 3 to verse 5. What Solomon is saying is this. Now, before all these things happen to us, live for God decisively. give him the strength of your youth. Some of us are maybe beyond retirement age or beyond retirement age. I'm already 64. Thank God I still have the energy to climb steps. May not be for very long. So some of us don't have much time to live decisively for God. Use them for God. Don't just give God what is left over of your remaining time after you have wasted all your strength on an unhealthy lifestyle or spend all your energy on materialistic lifestyle. When a person had lived for God all his life, old age can be a glorious time. But it will not be a time of strenuous activity, strenuous service for God. So if you're going to serve the Lord, we must do so while we are still young. One of the favorite YouTube videos, worship videos that I enjoy is the Gathers brothers when they sing. And many of them, old people, a lot of them are old people. And when they sing, you know, despite their old age, and they still sing for God. That really inspired me to worship God. Verse 6 describes a lamb which looks like a golden bowl hanging from a ceiling on a silver chain. That's the picture here. The chain breaks and the golden bowl come crashing down. This is a symbolic picture of how fragile life is. When the fragile cord is broken, the light of life goes out. Verse 6 also gives us another analogy. This time, the picture of a well with a wheel for bringing up the pitcher that is filled with water. And one day, the wheel will break and the pitcher is shattered and the end comes. So it's talking about how life will end. When the wheel of life stops working, the water of life stops flowing. The heart stops pumping, blood stops circulating, and death has arrived. Verse 12, I want to explain this. It's not an indictment on going to school. Here say, much study is a weariness of the flesh. I know some of you young people say, see, pastor also say, you know, much study is a wearisome to the soul. The Bible say too much books is wearisome, so don't study. Let me read verse 11 to 12. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed on the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond this. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is the weariness of the flesh. Let me clarify that this two verses is not telling us to ignore our books, our studies. Those are important. However, it is saying that we cannot test God's truth by the many books written by men, even by professors with doctorate degrees, many doctorate degrees behind their name. In other words, we should not test the Word of God with men's wisdom. It should be the other way around. This should test the so-called wisdom, inverted commas, of men. So young people, don't let your philosophy or your psychology textbooks or your science textbooks or even your theology textbooks, you know, cause you to pass judgment on God's Word. This is the final authority, the infallible Word of God. All the other books, if they disagree with the Word of God, then you take it with a pinch of salt. Don't let Da Vinci's code determine how you live or think, or any of those so-called new books that come up on the horizon, teaching you how to interpret the Bible with code and all those things. The Bible is written not with codes so that it becomes mysterious to us. The Bible is written in plain language. You and I only need to be more familiar with it so that we can interpret the Word of God accurately. The Bible should be our guide for beliefs and for practice in life. It is our final authority. Don't let any other words of men, like I said, even theological books, you know, narrow our view of God and His ways. In his concluding thought in verses 13 to 14, Solomon reiterates that life is a stewardship. And one day, you and I must stand before God and give an account of what we have done with our life. So let me read verse 13 and 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment and every secret thing, whether good or evil. If our life is to count for God, we must fulfill three obligations here in these two closing verses. First, we must fear God. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of reverence and awe that we show God because we love and respect his character and his power, and we honor his word. We take seriously his word. How do we show a lack of fear for God? In other words, how do we dishonor God? So my final point is live decisively, don't dishonor God. How do we dishonor God? Let me read 1 Samuel 3, verse 20. I want the young people especially to listen to this. This is God's warning as well as a promise to us. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, saying to Eli, for far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This is both a promise and a warning. Those who honor God, God will honor them. But those who despise him, he will take them very lightly. And the context was Eli's sons dishonoring the Lord by misbehaving themselves in the house of God. So young people, your pastor may not see what you are doing, sitting on the pews on a Sunday morning like this, fiddling with your handphone or maybe chatting away, but God sees and God knows when we dishonor him in the worship hour by doing other things. God sees, and you will bear the consequences. For one thing, you won't learn the many insights from the word of God, but also God sees how you dishonor him, and you'll be lightly esteemed. God's words warn us that those who honor God and despise spiritual things will be lightly esteemed by him. The person who fears the Lord, who will pay attention to his word and obey it, they will be honored by God. When we have this unholy fear of the Lord, it will make us run away from God. But a holy fear will bring us to our knees in love and submission to God and to his word and to his mission for our life. Oswald Chambers said this, I quote, he said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else, especially men. You want to please men. So that's the first obligation that we must have as we conclude. Fear God. Then secondly, keep his commandments. You see, God is the creator of life, and he alone knows how life is to be managed, how life is to be lived. He wrote the manual of life. That is the Bible that you and I have with us. And the wise is the person who reads it and who obeys it, who puts it into practice. The fear of God must result in obedient living. Otherwise, that fear is only a sham. The dedicated Christian spends time daily to know God and to know his word better, and then live accordingly. And finally, prepare for final judgment. It's amazing that so many people, may I say, even Christians, give so little thought about the day of accounting. If we claim to believe in God, who is going to judge us for what we do or fail to do in our life, then if we claim to believe that God is going to judge us, to make us accountable, then we must live and serve in such a manner that we are prepared to make our Maker unashamed. Of course, for those of us who believe in Jesus, on the day of judgment, it's not God won't judge us like, say, oh, you committed so many sins. Of course, Christ, our advocator, our defense lawyer, will say that because we have believed in him, those are cancelled. But we still have to give an account to God how we live our life, whether it is for our selfish means to build up our kingdom, or whether we are living our life to fulfill God's kingdom purpose. That's why we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So may the Lord help us to live and make the most of our life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us to understand your word throughout this book of Ecclesiastes. Lord, we know that life without you in the picture is a mess. And Lord, we do not want to go on living that kind of life. We want you to be at the very center of our life. And Lord, may the many lessons that we learn through this book, through our CG and through the sermons, Lord, really transform us from the inside out to become the people that you want us to be. And Lord, if your hand has put, your finger is put in any area of our life that is lacking or that is awry, Lord, we pray that you will give us the grace to repent and do what is right, because we will one day have to stand before you to give an account. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your word. And so now may God's people receive his benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and empowering of his Holy Spirit be with each one of us from this time forth till our Lord Jesus comes again. Amen.